Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Ellen O'Brien, and you're listening to Storage Media Group's weekly podcast. Today we're in studio with Sonia Lally. She's a news writer who's just back from SNW, a four-day show in Dallas. Sonia, good to have you here.
Glad to be back. It was a really good show.
Well, I want to talk about all the news that came out of the SNW show, but first off, the weather. There was a tornado that swept through. Was the show impacted?
It was. For about a couple hours, it disrupted the show. The first indication that there was a problem was a citywide siren went off in Dallas, and then within about 5 or 10 minutes or so, you could see the certain clouds swirling in the distance, which prompted a lot of the attendees to run to the windows and pull out their iPads and iPhones and start making pictures. But the hotel employees pretty much herded everybody away from the windows, confined us to a certain area, closed the exhibit hall. The sessions were disrupted. But that lasted for about a couple of hours and then started up the show again.
Okay, so the show went on, and I see you wrote some news stories from there. The first two were about cloud storage companies. Was there a big cloud theme this year?
It was. It was definitely one of the big themes. There were certainly a lot of cloud vendors, but there were a lot of storage pros that had questions, particularly in some areas about using cloud for its mobile workforce, how successful to exit the cloud if it doesn't live up to its promise for them, and even the legal liability surrounding cloud implementations, such as who's liable if data is lost in a regulatory and compliance situation.
Well, those are interesting questions, and I look forward to seeing your coverage on those in the next few weeks. And before I let you go, were there any keynotes that stood out? I know from attending these shows, the keynote often sets the tone.
There was one in particular that I found interesting. It was from Lon Anderson, VP of Corporate Information Technology at ICF. And he did a rundown about how they grew from a mid-sized company to an enterprise-scale company. And he talked about how they realized a $1.5 million a year savings as far as their virtualization efforts and a savings of $250,000 per year as far as their cloud implementation. It was a public cloud implementation.
Okay, you must have had some good feedback there and lots of questions in that session, I bet.
Yes.
Okay, well, Sonia, we look forward to your SNW coverage, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is John Hilliard. He's one of our Storage Media Group contributors. He often writes for our blogs, and he's going to be in studio each week sharing a roundup of the best stuff on storage blogs around the web. John, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Ellen.
I've heard you get some interesting reports this week, a lot of rants from storage users, and even something about a robot.
Yes, that's right. Let me just jump in here with some of the serious stuff. First off, we got Xconomy.com, which is reporting that the cloud startup OpsCode is getting $19.5 million in venture financing this week. This is the company that produces the cloud computing resource. This is the open source Chef software, which Xconomy says that is valuable because the tool is used by a community of IT experts who can develop new ways to use the same software. And OpsCode has been seeing a lot of revenue from its premium-level hosted Chef service that launched in 2010. And that last year, it had made a bigger play for the enterprise by introducing this private Chef, which is a customizable version of the software that plays to the big business IT managers who need to keep their critical data within a corporate firewall, according to Xconomy. And Xconomy reports that OpsCode has already started out with just with clients in the hundreds and is planning to start its first user conference in the spring. And the HP Storage guy is reporting from the SNW show. This is Calvin Zito, who posted a new podcast this week covering a presentation from an HP senior solution manager for virtualization as he overviewed storage challenges from virtualization, tips on building the right storage foundation, as well as other issues within the storage architecture. Both of them also update us on how HP's 3PAR Peer Motion offering is now compatible with VMware. And in a kind of a twist, StorageBot, this is Martin Glassborough, he's posting a short entry, which I won't spoil entirely, but he's talking about his concerns as the cost of storage tech drops, because as the cost of storage technology falls, more and more people try to store more and more data. And this actually causes the surprising effect of causing storage costs to overall rise. And he mentions that there's one major issue here, that data management is a discipline that's, quote, much ignored. So I recommend, if you're interested in storage theory, you should check out that blog. And then lastly, from NPR, this is kind of an offbeat one, but I'm figuring if people are listening to a storage podcast, they'd be into something like this. NPR is reporting that an Ohio museum is restoring a robot from the 1939 World's Fair. This was built by Westinghouse as a publicity item for the fair. It's called Electro. It looks like a giant version of C-3PO from Star Wars, only it's it can smoke cigarettes, and it could awkwardly hit on people at the in the audience. There's actually a YouTube clip of this thing. If you're confused, you should be, because the people in 1939 appeared just as confused. But if you're a fan of Meat Beat Manifesto, you can check that out. They actually covered a song with its voice sampled into it. So if anyone's a fan of this, you should check that out. Now, why do we care? Well, this is like the first example I could ever find of someone using technology to do voice command. There was a big show in the World's Fair where the presenter would talk into a microphone, and the robot, which is obviously a puppet, would respond, and it shows how people have always wanted to have technologies to obey their commands. It looks so science fiction, and then you look the same day that this came out, Google announced its Project Glass augmented reality glasses, which will allow you to walk around Google Maps in front of your face, and it all works by voice command. And then you had Siri with Apple's iPhone. I don't know. It's weird. You go from fantasy to reality. So if you're interested in robots, well, this won't satisfy that. But if you need a laugh, check out the NPR story. It'll be linked to our podcast online. But thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, yeah. John. I've actually had some experience with voice command software, and I remember the days when it was a fantasy. No one could understand what you were saying on the other end, but it's gotten a lot better, and I'm going to check out that story and more. Thanks for talking with us, and we'll look forward to your blog update next week.
Awesome. Thank you.